Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Friday, the 25th day of November, 2011. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. Thanksgiving came early for students at Mount Edgecombe High School. On the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the state-run boarding school in Sitka throws a dinner for all of its students every year. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, it's a huge undertaking.
A yellow school bus pulls up to the front of Sitka's Harrigan Centennial Hall, and students from Mount Edgecombe High School stream out of it. They're moving quickly, mostly because it's cold, but perhaps also because good things are about to happen inside this building.
There's about 80 pies over there. We got like 700 rolls.
John Wathen is food service director at Edgecombe. He's been up since 5 o'clock in the morning with his staff roasting turkeys. 40. Count them, 40 turkeys, and that's not all.
A couple hundred pounds of stuffing, a couple hundred pounds of mashed potatoes, 150 pounds of corn.
All of those are estimates he revises upward just a few minutes later when he reaches into one of the warmers to pick up a giant tub of stuffing. Wathen has been in this job for 23 years, and believe it or not, making all that food goes pretty smoothly.
If the electricity goes out, we'd be
in a bad situation, but other than that, they have this down to a science. The turkeys come out of tin foil and go onto platters. The mashed potatoes and stuffing are put into bowls that the students are holding as they come through the line, and then they all make it back to their seats, food intact. At one of the tables, Mount Edgecombe High School Superintendent Randy Hawk is carving a turkey with varying degrees of success and passing it out to the students in his extended family.
Turkey?
The extended family is how Edgecombe refers to the groups the students are in. A handful of kids from all over the state matched up with a staff member or a community member's family. They dine with their extended family every other Thursday. And then there's this, with hundreds of people all together in one room sharing a meal.
Well, part of it is the kids are away from home. So we try to make it as much a home environment because these are some things that they miss being here at Edgecombe. And so we try to fill those voids by having family-type activities that make them feel like they aren't so far away from home.
And to some degree, it works, says sophomore Felicia Orsborne. She says this year's gathering is a little smaller than last year's, which was her first Edgecombe Thanksgiving. It's a good menu with turkey and cranberry sauce and potatoes.
Oh, and really good rolls.
But it's really about the people, Orsborne says.
It feels good, like, when you can't go home, that they have, like, this for us. Yeah.
Where's home?
Anchorage.
There's also entertainment from the school's rock band, native dance groups, and this guy.
What you playing?
I am playing Hey Soul Sister by Train.
And are you going to play that today?
Yes, sir.
With what ensemble?
Myself and my ukulele.
Doug McClanahan and his ukulele.
Yes.
The performances take place toward the end of the meal, but throughout, even while everyone is sitting down and eating, one woman is very hard to keep up with. Her name is Paula Clayton. She's a counselor at the school, and she coordinates this dinner. She says it's a team effort, full of students and staff who work together to pull it off.
It's good to see the hard work you put into it pay off and have the kids smiling and enjoying each other and the staff, too.
Have you had a chance to eat yet?
No.
That's tomorrow, she says.
And that was Ed Ronco from KCAW News. Sitka's Sawmill Cove Industrial Park is, quote, burning cash, unquote. That's the phrase City Finance Director Jay Sweeney used to describe the situation to the park's board of directors at their monthly meeting this week. Robert Woolsey reports.
Over the past 4 months, the park has spent about $90,000 on operations, but only taken in $40,000 in rents and other revenues. That's an average monthly deficit of $12,500 that Sweeney says the park can't sustain much beyond a year or 18 months when its cash reserves run dry. Sawmill Cove Director Gary White says the board is concerned about the negative cash flow. Nevertheless, its mission is economic development and job growth. White says that if these things were factored into the balance sheet, it would tell a different story.
If you look at the enterprise fund by itself, it's not in good shape. But if you look at the overall benefits that that park brings to the community and other enterprise funds, it's a winning situation. We're bringing in a bunch of property taxes and raw fish tax and sales tax and all those other things that benefit other enterprise funds.
Since the creation of the park following the closure of the APC mill, the Sawmill Cove Board has taken several steps that it believes benefit the community at the expense of its own bottom line. Some of the most potentially lucrative lease properties have been sold off to Silver Bay Seafoods, True Alaska Bottling, and the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. Longtime board member Charles Horan observed, "We're in the business of putting ourselves out of business." The main culprit in the park's cash flow problem is one of its largest remaining assets, the former Alaska Pulp Corporation Administration Building. White says it costs $150,000 a year to maintain.
That's something that we're looking at in the future of how we minimize that cash flow drag. Do we mothball the building? Do we enter into a long-term lease with someone to take over that building? And that's what kind of the stuff we're looking at or hopefully trying to do to minimize that cash flow.
The city has spent over $3 million to put new siding and a roof on the building. The money came from federal grants, which prohibit the sale of the structure for 20 years. Except for a recording studio, bike and hike, and municipal record storage, the admin building is vacant. White suggests that there's no magic bullet.
You know, the city still has to ensure the park. The city still has to heat those buildings to protect those assets. It's a real cost that's out there that we're kind of stuck with, and our goal is to maximize the revenues to offset those costs, and so that's what we're kind of trying to do.
In the near term, the Blue Lake Hydro Project may put the park on more solid footing before its reserves run out. White says the contractor will likely lease much of the remaining vacant land and possibly office space in the admin building during expansion of the dam and the construction of a new turbine, but that will mean only 2 years of relief. Neither is bulk water expected to provide much help. True Alaska Bottling paid $75,000 last February to preserve its option to sell bulk water from Blue Lake. It is expected to pay the same amount this coming February. While that is a nice shot in the arm, Finance Director Sweeney observed that spread out over 12 months, it only covers about half the monthly deficit. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
In other business, at its monthly meeting this week, the Sawmill Cove Board approved renting indoor space to the Harbor Department for storage of its two guard shacks. The structures will occupy 100 square feet in the former boat company building at 50 cents per foot. Harbor Master Stan Eliason told the board that he had planned to store the shacks under the O'Connell Bridge, but that someone had broken out the windows during Alaska Day festivities. Greg Reynolds with the Sitka Community Development Corporation told the board that his organization was developing a building materials reuse center. Reynolds said that the SCDC had exhausted its search for private commercial property for the project and was now considering Sawmill Cove. The board responded that they would welcome a proposal. And finally, Board Chair Grant Miller passed the gavel to Aaron Wilkinson. Wilkinson has been on the board for about 6 months and in Sitka for a year as the branch manager of First National Bank of Alaska. Wilkinson's term will be for 1 year. There's new snow clones at Eielson Air Force Base. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports U.S. Air Force Tech Sergeant Brian Fentress built snowman members for each member of his family of four outside their base home. Fentress says his daughter first asked for a snowman, and then his wife asked for a snow family. There's also a giant snowman watching guard over the family, which was his idea. He wanted to see how high he could go and wound up with a 10-foot snowman with a garbage can hat, adding another 2 feet. Vegetable cans made up the eyes and buttons, and the nose is a bowling pin. It took him almost 60 hours to complete the menagerie. The snowmen are so tightly packed, he's hoping they stick around till about June. A verbal dispute continues between Alaska Representative Don Young and a college professor from Texas. Last week, Rice University professor and historian Douglas Brinkley traded jabs with the Alaska Republican during a House committee hearing over drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Young supports drilling, Brinkley doesn't. Video of the exchange went viral on the internet. During the hearing, Young called Brinkley's testimony as, quote, garbage, unquote, and Brinkley told Young, quote, I pay your salary, unquote. A spokesman for Young tells the Anchorage Daily News it was a publicity ploy by Brinkley to sell more copies of his book about the early conservation movement in Alaska. Brinkley didn't respond to an interview request with the newspaper, but he told the media in the lower 48, Young is a, quote, menacing blowhard, unquote. A 23-year-old Homer man will serve 11 years in a federal prison after being convicted of conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine. Costas Nicholas Baramas was sentenced Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Anchorage. Prosecutors say Baramas bought meth from an Anchorage dealer during the summer of 2008 and continually increased the orders. A summer later, he bought 1 pound, 9 ounces of meth on credit and agreed to pay $78,600. Officials say he could only pay $20,000 and fled to Greece for fear of retribution. He eventually returned and signed over a 2008 Cadillac Escalade to pay off the balance. Officials say he bought the SUV with drug money. And a Kodiak jury has found a man guilty of sexually assaulting, beating, and strangling a woman in False Pass. The Kodiak Superior Court jury found 30-year-old Jason Neal Downward guilty of the July 2008 attacks. The Anchorage District Attorney Office said Wednesday that several witnesses testified that Downward admitted he assaulted the woman in a back room of a house where he had gone to play a music video game, but he denied sexually assaulting her. The woman testified that she fled the house wearing nothing but a bloody sports bra, and Downward had sexually assaulted her, strangling her and beating her. The medical exam backed up her statements. Downward faces 40 to 60 years on the sexual assault conviction and 6 to 10 years for the assault. That's it for Raven News for this hour. It is 1 minute past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka, and it is currently about 32 degrees on a Friday morning. Good morning, and thanks for tuning in.